Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Field, Matthew, and Daniel here on a Wednesday. How are you?
Hipster Daniel. Can we take a shot of him real quickly, if we can? Thank you very much. So for people that are listening at home, Daniel has his big bushy beard.
Yeah.
He's got his nose ring, he's got his earrings, and he's wearing a beanie cap. Like, yes. He is literally like, hey, I'm trying out to be an extra, you know, in a grunge band's music video.
Yes.
You do realize that he literally, all he did is different today compared to every other day.
Wore a beanie hat.
Right.
Yeah, I know, but it is.
So don't you think it's a little? So what is Daniel when he's not wearing a beanie hat? If he's not a hipster, what is he?
He's the co-host of the Fantasy Show.
That's right. Wow. That's right. Wow. I agree with you there. Here's an honest question, yes, Matthew Berry. The reason why I wore a beanie is because this studio
is a little cold.
Is ungodly cold.
It's a little cold.
And I've already got a lot going on up top. I don't know how you do that every day and not get frostbite up there, yeah, man. Exactly. It's terrible.
Does he are you wearing, sometimes NFL players, when it gets really, really cold during winter, you know, offensive linemen don't wear sleeves because they're psycho in many ways, but they put Vaseline on their arms because it clothes, like what skiers do, right?
Oh, dear Lord, I do not have Vaseline on my arms.
Oh, dang. What about on your
head?
Oh.
To close your pores?
Maybe.
Wow, I've learned so much today.
We've got excited. Listen, when you like, it's been exposed to the elements for so long now that, you know,
there's just no feeling up there.
I've built a tolerance up. My baldness up here.
I love it.
Balding, so depressing. It's important. Matthew. I still have hair. I'm not fully bald. Correct.
Right.
I need to here's what I have to, and I've literally had this thought for a year and a half.
Okay.
And then we can move on. I've literally had the thought of, like, I have to do one of two things. I either have to shave it entirely and just go fully bald, like just pull a Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I will look like that. I think I'll look weird.
Okay.
Or I've thought about this, honestly, like, do I, like, whether it's Hims, which is a sponsor of us, there's a lot of hair restoration companies that, like, high end ones, not doing the bad plugs or anything like that, but like doing real, like going and doing that.
Sure. Yeah.
And obviously I'd be public about it. I wouldn't just like suddenly show up on TV, like, I don't know, like a former NFL quarterback, and you're like, whoa.
You're not going to go full Urlacher.
I'm not going to go full Urlacher or anything like that. But I'm just saying, like, I would obviously be open about it. Like, maybe do a sponsorship or something. I've thought about that. Because obviously, if I show up with more hair, everyone's going to know. Like, I can't, like, well, I don't know, it just happened. Like, obviously, I'm going to have to own it, right? So I've had those two thoughts. Like, I feel like I'm in this weird middle ground.
No, I think it's worth it for you because, listen, you'll get some flack because it's the internet for, like, a few months.
Right.
Like, a year from now, people will be like, God, look at that full head of hair on Matthew. And, like, you can style it. You can throw some gel in there.
All right. Well, listen, if there's any hair restoration doctors, hospitals, companies out there, hit a brother up.
I'll talk to you guys at Matthew Berry TMR.
What?
At Matthew Berry TMR.
At Matthew Berry TMR on the Twitter machine. Also the Gram and the TikTok. And pretty much every app except the Fantasy Life one, where I'm at Matthew Berry.
Okay. We have a lot to get to today, including more thoughts on hair restoration later on in the show.
Sure.
We'll talk about ranks, I should say. We have some very special guests as well that are joining us. We'll tell you about that in just a little bit. And we're going to do a top 10 redraft for the rest of the season. As if today the season started, and knowing what we know now, who would you take for the next 13 weeks? But before we get to all that, a couple pieces of news. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Chiefs has officially landed on IR. Matthew, no surprise here. Stefania estimated the timetable for his injury being somewhere between 2 and 6 weeks. This means a minimum of 3 weeks for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's the Darrell Williams show now.
It is, and we talked about this yesterday, but just to sort of reiterate, I weirdly think Darrell Williams is going to be better fantasy-wise than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and there's a couple of reasons for that. First off, Clyde Edwards-Helaire always had to deal with Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams, I'm not really worried about Jerick McKinnon stealing any kind of meaningful touches. So there's that one, right?
Yep.
The second piece of it is that in terms of touchdown equity, I think Williams has more than CEH. They trust him on the goal line. They trust him in short yardage situations between the tackles. And so then you think about, well, what about the passing game usage? We saw it last week against the Bills. Like, they have no problem using him. They like him in pass protection quite a bit, and they have no problem, you know, letting him release and dumping it off to him. Yeah. Mahomes has trust in him. They did that a number of times against the Bills, and Darrell Williams played very well. And so a more fuller role, a more complete role, better touchdown equity, and also some usage in the passing game, I actually prefer Darrell Williams at the moment than CEH previously to this. So whatever level CEH is, and Thirsty Kyle, you can tell me, I want to say CEH is probably like running back 20, 22 on the season, something like that.
Sure.
Somewhere in that range. Like, I would argue Darrell Williams is probably a top 15 fantasy running back for as long as CEH is out.
Yeah, that's about right. I think the pros for Darrell Williams maybe offset the limitations that he has relative to CEH. Like, CEH is a better overall pass catcher and route runner.
He's a better NFL player.
Yeah,
like, he's just a more talented human being. But like,
the Chiefs haven't consistently like used CEH like Austin Eckler or something in the passing game. And as you mentioned, the touchdown equity is much better for Darrell Williams. The Chiefs play the Washington football team on Sunday. Williams could have 50 fantasy points.
By the way, as soon as the line was released, it was like Kansas City by 6.5. By the time I got to it, it had already moved to 7 and then 7.5 on some books. Like, whatever you can get it at, they're going to kill Washington.
You think so?
Statistically speaking, this isn't a fan speaking. Statistically speaking, one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
Mm.
And now you've got the Kansas City Chiefs, and everyone's saying, oh, you guys are 2-3. The dynasty's over. You guys are done. You just got embarrassed on national television by the Buffalo Bills. What do you think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are going to do? They're going to make a statement.
Yeah, scorched earth. Like the Eagles 2 weeks ago.
Earth.
Yeah.
50 burger.
Yeah.
I believe they got a shot at a 50 burger because Washington's awful. The defense is awful. We are out of position. We have a first-round draft pick that can't get on the field. The defensive line's getting no pressure at all. Landon Collins is a very expensive liability out there. Like, the whole thing's a disaster.
Yeah, we actually need like a separate podcast, just like a 15-minute.
It's a disaster.
Yeah, it's bad. We should just like a 15-minute show. A special episode where it's just Matthew.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a lot pent up inside of you right now that if you got rid of it, you'd feel really good.
I'm just saying, I had a full head of hair when the season started, and then I've been watching Washington football team. After the game against the Saints, you know what I did? Is I watched Titanic because I wanted to watch a happy movie.
Wow.
Like, I just wanted to watch something that was less of a disaster than the football team.
Wow. How about that?
Defense.
A little more news.
Yeah, exactly.
More news.
Let's see. Like those movies like where you get trapped in the... You know those movies where you get trapped in the mountains and everyone, you know, and there's like an avalanche and then they like all have to eat each other to survive and then the last remaining person like gets eaten by wolves? Happier movie than watching the Washington football team defense.
Wow. Is there like a single movie that actually takes place in? Like, you're like, you know, the movies in which that happens? Like, has that happened in several movies?
I feel like that's a sort of a plot. The one that I thought of was, there's a Liam Neeson movie. Is it The Gray? What's it called?
I think you might be right.
There's a Liam Neeson movie where, sorry, spoiler alert. There's a Liam Neeson movie, you know, because I watch everything that Liam Neeson's in. There's a Liam Neeson movie in where he's on a plane with a bunch of guys. It crashes like in the middle of Alaska and the frozen tundra,
right.
And they all have to sort of like a group of them basically leave the survivors of the plane leave to try to go forage themselves, and one by one they basically
gotcha. DiCaprio won his first Academy Award.
They go against the elements, and then it's ultimately the movie. Again, spoiler alert: the movie ends with just Liam Neeson's the only one alive, and it's just him versus a pack of wolves, and that's where the movie ends.
Right?
He ain't making it out of there,
right? Correct.
So anyway, it's a really sad, depressing movie.
Okay, so you'd rather watch
that. But still better than watching the Washington football team defense.
All right, let's talk about a little bit more news before we get to our rankings conversations. Just a quick update here. Gronk, it's 11:08 on Wednesday, Eastern time. The Bucs are going to fly to Philadelphia later on today. I think we'll find out we should know within the next few hours whether Gronk will even travel to Philadelphia. Still sounds uncertain. We'll have an update tomorrow. I think what we learned last week, though, Matthew, is that, like, yes, you may still prefer Cameron Brate to Gronk, to O.J. Howard if Gronk's out, but, like, just a reminder that, like, anytime you have a contingency plan and it involves a tight end, it's far from a sure thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, generally speaking, the Philadelphia Eagles are pretty good for opposing tight ends. Like, it's a good matchup in terms of the way they play their defense, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's Tom Brady. Whether it's Antonio Brown, whether it's Chris Godwin, whether it's Mike Evans, whether it's Giovanni Bernard and Leonard Fournette out of the backfield, like, watch him run two in, you know, from the 2 yard line. Like, so it's just the problem with Tampa Bay. The challenge for fantasy is that they have a lot of talented weapons. There's probably better tight end streamers this week, including Ricky Seals-Jones of my pathetic, awful Washington football team, because they'll be trailing by a lot. By a 50 burger.
At least he plays on offense.
He does play on offense.
Okay, that's good. Let's talk about...
I got no issues with the offense. Washington football team offense has been undermanned. They're working with their second-string quarterback. The Washington football team has put up points. The offense is fine. Scott Turner has done a fantastic job given what he's got to work with there. Like, the offense is not the issue with Washington.
You feel
it's
better?
The Again, highly paid, highly touted defense
just to get no,
that's been
out.
Brutal. Yeah.
Now we need
special
a 7-minute podcast because we just
By
spent
way,
8 minutes of
special,
it.
Special teams that isn't named Tressway has been brutal as well.
Let's get to the quarterback rankings. So let's imagine a scenario in which you lost Russell Wilson and you are expecting to turn to somebody else for the next 4 weeks, even if Matthew does not necessarily believe that Russ will miss time until he actually misses a game, right? So
has he missed a game yet?
He has not yet.
Okay, then. All right, then. We'll see. Anything can happen.
Operating under the presumption that Russ will not play this Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's not looking good.
Let's talk about some fill-in quarterbacks. First of all,
how great would it be if Russell Wilson just goes out there, he's got the big claw, and he's just like, I've learned to throw left-handed.
You know what's better, though? He's going to go out there, take one snap to preserve his start streak,
and
then just go right back to the bench.
Could you imagine?
That would just be such a great troll job Russell Wilson expected to start tonight.
Right.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine?
You would lose your mind.
That would be amazing. I don't think... Russell Wilson does not strike me as the kind of guy to do something like that. You know what I mean? He strikes me as a principled man. What?
Principled?
A principled man, a kind of unwritten rules of the game kind of guy.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my take on him. I've only met him twice in my life, both times brief and really nice. I haven't caught a pass from him the way Daniel Dopp has.
Five passes.
Yeah. Five passes and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Game-winning touchdown.
Game-winning touchdown.
Yeah. No big deal.
Highest scoring PPR wide receiver that week.
Yep.
No big deal. Anyways, he's not going to play on Sunday night. I'm telling you that right now. You heard it here first. Let's talk about some options that could fill in for him, though, Matthew. And as we said on Monday's show, you know, the list of quarterbacks that you might have had confidence in replacing Russell Wilson with, it shrank dramatically from Sunday morning to Monday morning. Daniel Jones got hurt. He got a concussion. As of, I don't know, like 15 minutes ago, Joe Judge did say there's a chance he'll play on Sunday, but who knows, right? It's concussion protocol, and you may not know until Sunday morning or right before kickoff against the Los Angeles Rams. You don't love that matchup, by the way.
No, you certainly don't against the Rams. But Stefania, if she were here, she would want us to remind you that it's a nonlinear injury,
correct.
And so it doesn't necessarily go, you know, from bad automatically to good. You can feel good and then have a bad day, and so it's obviously a situation we will monitor.
I like the visual demonstration of nonlinear. It was really
very
instructive.
I started to do a visual of like raising my hand up, and then I realized most of the people watch this pod are hearing this podcast and can't see my visual, and then I'm just like, and then I bailed on it. But right, there you go. Nonlinear. There you go. I'm now moving my arm up and down to demonstrate nonlinear for
that
Field
was really,
Ministry
that
8.
Was really
don't do it too fast.
Right,
those
there.
Old bones in there don't have a lot left in them.
Wow.
No
can
hair,
I just
no
leave?
Bones,
no, you
else?
Can't
we
leave.
Have
no,
I,
we're not done.
Can I just, here's what I need to do. I need to figure out a way to get that Russell Wilson contract. Where it's just like, same thing. Whereas I'll just pull a Russell Wilson. Like, I'll show up. Like, I'll say hi, hello, and then I leave. There you go, boom. I've completed my contractual obligation to ESPN to make an appearance on the podcast.
There you go.
But then,
let's talk through
about.
A couple of options, and then I'm going to let you have the floor if there's anybody else that you want to recommend here. So amongst the names to keep in mind, Matthew, are Sam Darnold and Taylor Heinicke. Let's start with Sam Darnold, who last week entered week 5 as quarterback 5 for the season. Now, a lot of that was due to the fact that he had 5 rushing touchdowns in the first 4 games. Believe it or not, that did not happen this past Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. But it was a bad game for Sam Darnold. He threw multiple picks. He was inconsistent. They squandered a late lead. Are you confident in Sam Darnold going up against the Vikings, or are there better options?
I think there are better options, but I think Sam Darnold could be okay.
Yeah, I agree.
He's had one bad game.
Yep.
He had a bad day at the office. And we all agreed the rushing touchdowns were unsustainable. But he's a good quarterback.
Sure.
He's a good quarterback. Oh, by the way, he's getting Christian McCaffrey back. We expect Christian McCaffrey back this week. So as we saw, on Monday night, you can throw a 3-yard screen pass, and if your running back takes it 70 yards for a touchdown, it counts as a 76-yard touchdown.
It does,
That's what happened with Carson Wentz, obviously, and Jonathan Taylor. Christian McCaffrey has that ability. Vikings are 17th against the pass over the last 4 weeks. They're in the bottom half of the NFL. So, the Vikings have a better defense this year than they did last year, but it's not like... It's not like a,
It hasn't been dominant yet.
And so the way DJ Moore has played, what we expect out of Christian McCaffrey, we're hoping we get something out of Robbie Anderson here. I think again, I'm ranked 15th this week, so it's not like I'm all in on Sam Darnold, but I do think in a pinch, Sam Darnold can be okay this week. There is somebody I do like better than Sam Darnold, though.
We'll get to him in 1 second. I don't know if this is just a small sample size thing or not, but Sam Darnold this year has thrown 6 interceptions. All 6 of them have come on plays when Christian McCaffrey was not on the field. So I don't know if, again, it could just be randomness, but certainly having Christian McCaffrey probably brings a calming presence to that entire offense. It allows you to defend them differently when he is off the field. Having Christian McCaffrey back should mean good things for Sam Darnold.
Well, and also, by the way, just, you know,
yards after catch opportunity and things like that.
And by the way, also just, you know, somebody so reliable, like if you're under pressure, instead of forcing something there, you just, you know, you can just dump it off to Christian McCaffrey. He's going to make something happen.
Sure thing. All right, let's get to the player that I believe you're trying to figure out. You are suggesting is the best fill-in option amongst quarterbacks that are available in a ton of leagues. That being Taylor Heinicke, Matthew. You
yes,
actually
sir.
Have him ranked 9th this week.
I do.
I have him at 13, and the reason why is last week we had this conversation where it was like, okay, I'm looking at the rankings, and maybe my instinct is to place Taylor Heinicke ahead of these guys, but am I really removing a lock-in starter ahead of am I really doing that to put Heinicke in my lineup? My answer was no. So, like, that's the reason why I'm a little bit lower than you, but I understand what you're getting at here. You have Taylor Heinicke number 9. You are the highest amongst all ESPN rankers, and the matchup is truly spectacular.
No team has allowed more deep touchdown passes than the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? Chiefs have actually allowed a touchdown on a league-high 71% of drives.
Okay.
Right?
That's bad.
They give up, I believe, the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks.
By the way, was that a touchdown set? I think you meant 41, not 71.
Yeah, sorry, 41% of drives. Sorry, did I say 71?
I think so. So just
sorry,
in case,
apologies. Yeah. Yes, Kansas City. The correct stat is that the Chiefs allow a touchdown on a NFL high 41% of drives.
Got it.
41% of the time when a team starts a drive against Kansas City, they're giving up a score.
Ridiculous.
And again, you just heard me, like, rants aside, Kansas City is going to be able to score in this game. The Washington defense has been bad. There's no question about it.
And they're the Chiefs.
And they're the Chiefs, right? I mean, it's, you know, this game, believe it or not, has the highest over-under on the slate.
Honestly, this game...
55.5.
I could be way wrong here. This will be, to me, I think this plays out almost exactly how the Philadelphia game played out for the Chiefs. The Chiefs smoke them early. Mm-hmm. But Washington's going to be so far behind. Taylor Heinicke is going to Blake Bortles his way to 21 fantasy points on Sunday afternoon.
It is not going to be pretty. But one of the things that's interesting about Heinicke here is at least 40 yards rushing in each of the last 2 weeks. I get it. He was bad last week. But he was a top 12 fantasy quarterback for the 3 weeks prior to that. And I do think there's a little bit of Bortles here where I think he junk times his way to a very good fantasy performance here. Which is, what happened in the Atlanta game, which they obviously ended up winning.
Sure.
But, you know, like, they were down big and then they came back. And so I like Heinicke. Like, I think it's a good matchup, and I think they're going to have to be very aggressive offensively against the Chiefs to keep up. I think he's the best streamer this week.
A special interview coming up in just a moment, but first, Daniel, tell us about Captain Morgan.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know as the season gets underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. And sometimes you got to sub in someone to switch things up, you know, have a little something new. Same thing goes for the drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, why don't you pour yourself a delicious, crisp Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum and Ginger. Sub in the captain, Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
No matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, time for us to bring aboard a couple of very, very, very special people. And I think technologically wise, we are ready.
We're ready to go.
Can you confirm with that? Can you confirm that with me? We are going to hop over on the Zoom machine, and hopefully this screen.
Wow, Skype machine. Wow, you sound older than I am. All right, but there they are. There they are. Doug and Trish. Marshke, did I say your name? Did I say your guy's name right?
That's right.
That's a shock that you said that correctly, Doug and Trish.
It really is. It's an upset here, but they're longtime fans of the show. They know this. They know English is my second language. So Doug and Trish Marshke, so they won a V Foundation experience. Is it 2 years ago, guys?
2 years ago, yeah, right before the pandemic.
Time is so relative now.
Right. It is. Time is a flat circle. So they won it 2 years ago, and what it involved was them coming to Bristol, Connecticut, beautiful Bristol, Connecticut,
right,
and getting a tour of ESPN.
And your house.
And obviously, they were going to spend the night and hang out with us and then be on the show.
Yeah.
But then, you know, worldwide pandemic.
Right, yeah.
And,
just bad thing.
And all of a sudden, so they've been waiting patiently, but so unfortunately, we weren't able to get them here in person. Hopefully, when everything is back to normal, we can have you guys,
yes,
and we would love to meet you guys in person. But in the meantime, it's a pleasure to meet Doug and Trish. So, Doug, I want to start off with you. Why don't you tell the people a little bit about you and your wife? Both of you guys are big fantasy football players.
What was that? Sorry.
What I said is I would love everyone to know about you and your wife's connection to fantasy football.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I've been playing fantasy football for a long time. And my wife can kind of tell the story, but she always kind of hears me listen to this show and watching fantasy football and doing all these weird things. And just, you know, a few years ago, I remember you had this big talk like, hey, one thing you should do is try to bring one person into fantasy football. So, you know, I said, okay, well, my wife loves winning and she loves playing games. So let me see if I can try convincing her to play some fantasy football, and brought her in, and she's been winning our league all the time. So she's probably one of the best players in our league.
Definitely. No surprise right there. Doesn't surprise me even a little bit. I want to hear about your guys' matchup in just a second. I believe you may have played each other last week, but as, of course, Matthew mentioned, you guys are here as the V Foundation auction winners. You also have a personal connection to the V Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit more about that story?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I had donated to the V Foundation right after my dad actually passed away from cancer. He had a kidney transplant, and after several years, you know, one of the side effects of this is actually sometimes a high risk of cancer. So he passed away from urinary bladder cancer. So I had donated to the Jimmy V Foundation really in his honor.
Well, it's a wonderful person to honor, obviously. No one more important than family in your life, Matthew.
Yeah, and Doug, what's amazing about your story and you and Trish is that Trish, why don't you tell everyone Doug, what's your fantasy team name? And then I want you to tell the story behind that.
My team name or Doug's team name?
Doug's team name. I apologize. I believe it's Doug's team name.
Yes. Doug's team's name is Trish's Kidney. And basically it's because I will be donating Doug my kidney next week on Tuesday.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like the kidney, like the thing that's inside of your kidney?
Yeah, so, exactly. The kidney, yeah.
Oh my God. So, wow.
Next week, Doug is going under the knife, right?
Yep, I'm going in 1 week. I will be having a kidney transplant for my wife. So got very, very lucky in all that. So I was diagnosed with end-stage renal failure about a year and a half ago and went out there looking for a match. And I got lucky. My wife was a match. A lot of people aren't so lucky. You know, there's like 12 people that die every year just waiting for a kidney. So, you know, I consider myself very lucky to have a match. And of course, even more lucky to have it be Trish.
Wow, that is incredible fortune. And Trish, you are clearly a saint, incredible, generous. Well,
and by the way, it's also the topper to any argument.
I know, right?
You know, take out the trash. I don't want to take out the trash. You have my kidney.
Yeah.
I'll take out the trash. Right?
Trust me, that's been happening a lot. So I'm going to have to, you know, it's I have no defense.
No.
She's right.
Yeah, seriously. She's got, I mean, let's be honest. The moment you guys got married. She took the 51% ownership stake in the couple power. Right. But still, this might be like 90-10 at this point. Trish, I hear you guys maybe played each other last week in fantasy. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And can you tell us about how that went?
The cause there. Yeah. It did not help my cause there.
It's been a rough few days. It was a very close match. I was winning by 8 points going into Monday. And she had the Indianapolis defense, which I didn't think was a very good idea, but she did. And it worked out for me. I ended up winning by a few points.
Yeah, I hate losing, but I also hate more when Doug is right. So it is what it is.
That was a double dagger for you. That was definitely a double dagger. But it's worth noting here, I believe, because Daniel and I had a private conversation with Trish and Doug a little while ago. Trish is the defending champ of their league.
Oh, NBD, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Right. And I believe you've won multiple times. Is that right, Trish?
What is that?
You won multiple times.
No, I have gone to the playoffs a couple of times, and I came in second. But and right now I'm in second place, so we'll see how this year pans out.
But she is defending champion. She did win last year.
Yes, she is the defending champion.
How did you
champion.
Celebrate when you won last year? Like, how specifically did you mock Doug during that process?
You know, actually, I was pretty generous. I paid his buy-in, so.
That is true. Wow. Give me a penny. Yeah, pays the buy-in fee. It's amazing.
She pays the buy-in fee. She gives a kidney.
Gives him kidneys.
Doug has married the greatest woman of all time.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable. This is something that we had fun with when we talked to you privately. But you have a fascinating career, Doug. But one of the things that you do that I think is really interesting and sort of fun is you have, for lack of a better way to describe it, a side hustle as a film producer. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'm all about side hustles, slow side hustles, of course. But one of my side hustles is I have a film company called Funny How Films, and we do. Just kind of fun, independent B movies. So we've made a few. It's been an awesome experience. I mean, I've got the Walk the Red Carpet in Cannes with Trish, of course. And we've got to make some really fun movies and just laugh a lot. You know, our movies are definitely not serious, but they're fun. And it was a nice little side hustle. And as I said, there's always I'm always trying to get Matthew to send me a script that he's been hiding, Crocodile Dundee 6 or something. But it's,
I was going to say, like, what's your expert take on Crocodile Dundee? Like, just you can be honest. Los Angeles. It's just the two of us talking.
Third one.
Here.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, by the way, that's the correct way to enjoy it.
I don't know.
It's just to keep walking by it, or scroll past it when you're on a streaming service. Here's my question for you, Doug. Have you thought about? Since we've last talked, I've come up with an idea. I just want a broad outline. Tell me if you like the concept, and then maybe we'll flesh it out a little bit. But 06010 the movie, and in essence, what I think has happened is that there's a murder. Somebody behind the scenes, no one important, someone behind the scenes, something happens bad to it. And then Daniel and I have to solve the crime. It's basically a crime solving movie, and Daniel and I are kind of the detectives, kind of a mismatched, pair, a little bit of Turner and Hooch, if you will.
I'm like the Turner. Hooch. You're the Hooch.
No, yeah. I think you'd be Hooch, but whatever. It's fine. Whatever. We're a mismatched pair. And Stefania is probably like a CSI kind of expert, sort of thing. And then my take is, I don't want to ruin this for everyone, but my take is that Babyface Field is actually the bad guy. Is that it turns out at the end, turns out Field's the
you
bad
had
guy.
Me until, like,
and
the
there's hijinks around that and everything like
he
that.
He was an intern hired in, and he's been using information against us while being the killer at the same time because he's just fresh out of
college. Just fleshing it out. Fantasy Focus the movie is basically what I'm pitching here. Work on a bunch of different things, but I think the important thing is that there's a crime that gets solved, and it's me and Daniel.
Done and done. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a movie.
I love it.
Somebody out there will write that movie.
That is exactly a Funny How Films movie right there.
Fantastic.
That's how they start.
All right. So we need people that are listening to write
where
up outlines and submit that right now. But right now we want to do some actual fantasy football. We want to do some fantasy football.
I'm going to do a thing. Do you mind real quick? Yeah, if you guys don't mind, Doug and Trish, I would love to be able to have you be a part of this segment. We're actually going to redraft the first round now after 5 weeks. We've seen the way the first 5 weeks have played out, and I want to bring you guys in to be a part of this. So the five of us are going to redraft the first round. We're going to start at the top. We're going to go 1 through 10. We'll each make 2 picks, so we're not picking for a team.
Ladies first, of course.
Ladies first, of course. So yep. Trish is going to start. But I just thought this would be a lot of fun. You know, Field and I have been talking about redrafting the first round now that we know a couple things. So.
Yeah, so Trish, the opportunity is yours to begin. So for the rest of the season, the final 13 weeks, which player would you take right now, understanding what we have context-wise from the first 5 weeks of the year, injury status for players that, you know, maybe they're superstars, but maybe, you know, Dalvin Cook, a little bit banged up right now, depending on their bye week is, things like that. Assume it's PPR scoring. For the rest of the season, who would you like to take number one overall? Certainly some of the candidates that come to mind include Christian McCaffrey, if he's back this week, and Derrick Henry, who has been awesome. Perhaps Davante Adams, perhaps
Antonio Gibson.
Come on now. Yeah, the Washington defense, based off what Matthew thinks about them. So if you have the first overall pick, who would you like to take for the rest of the season?
I think it would have to be Derrick Henry.
I think
honestly, that's the right pick.
I think it's almost indisputable at this point too, right? Like, he's just been so good. And, well, anything could happen at any time, Matthew. He's indestructible.
His volume is insane. He is the exception that proves the rule. He's super. To me, it's either him or Chris McCaffrey.
Right. So this made it easier because I have pick number two.
Yeah, go for it.
So I have pick number two, which this made it. I have Christian McCaffrey. And while on a points per game basis, it might be that McCaffrey finishes with more than Derrick Henry for the rest of the season, we just don't know. It's a hamstring strain that we don't know if he'll play on Sunday. We expect he will, but we don't know for sure. And who's to say that he stays healthy for the rest of the year? So pick two goes to me. I'll take Christian McCaffrey. Matthew, you have pick three. Here's where I think it gets interesting.
Yeah. And I may surprise you a little bit here, but you know where I'm going?
Travis Kelce?
Austin Eckler.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Ride or die is ride or die, baby. I like it. And look, he's the second best running back in fantasy so far right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I had him at 6 overall coming into the season, running back 6 overall, and he was going like running back 14 on ESPN. He was going in the middle of the second round. And I just sort of think, like, there were a couple of premises that I had in making him my ride or die and having him as a, you know, upper half first round pick, which is that I thought the Chargers offense would take another big step this year.
Yeah.
They have, obviously. And that I thought he would be used, that Austin Eckler would be used in the Alvin Kamara role, which he has been. The anti-Eckler argument is that, well, he doesn't have any touchdown equity, that they're not going to pull him at the goal line. It's going to be Larry Roundtree and Justin Jackson. Stop it. Which I said, like, this is a guy that 2 years ago scored 11 touchdowns. He got unlucky with the touchdowns last year. Only 3. He was injured a lot last year. He's going to score touchdowns. What has he done? He has scored touchdowns. It's an explosive offense. It's one of the best offensive lines in football. They're using him in a variety of ways. Give me Eckler at 3.
Okay, so Matthew takes Eckler number 3. Daniel has picked number 4 here. What are you
going
to do?
I'm going to go with Dalvin Cook here. I thought about going with Alvin Kamara, but without that pass-catching volume from me. Dalvin Cook, if he's healthy, and I'm going to assume, I know he's missed a couple games, but I'm looking at rest of the season, think he's healthy. Clear-cut, 3-down running back, guy that catches the ball. He's had 50-plus touches in each of the two health, or 50-plus touches. He had 50 touches combined in the two healthy games that he had to start the season. I mean, he's just an immediate set it and forget it. I feel like it's a really easy pick for me.
Number 4 is Dalvin Cook to Daniel. So, Doug, your first pick, you are now on the clock with pick number 5. Who are you taking?
I think I'm taking Aaron Jones.
Okay.
I was trying to decide between Aaron Jones and Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
They're both amazing. I just think, you know, Aaron Jones doesn't have a lot of injury concerns, and he's the number one back there and has all his receiving abilities. So that'd be my pick.
He has been awesome consistently since he got that starting job just a couple of years ago. So Trish, you have pick 6. We've gone 5 straight running backs off the board. Who are you taking at pick number 6?
Let me look.
Davante Adams, Travis Kelce, Zeke Elliott,
Antonio Gibson still out there.
Washington.
I think I'll go with Kelce because he helped me win my team last year.
Death taxes Travis Kelce, right?
Right,
I mean,
absolutely.
There are only so many things in life you can count on. He has been unbelievable again. He is trending towards his 6th straight 1,000-yard receiving season. A little bit of context here. No tight end in NFL history has 6 separate 1,000-yard receiving seasons. He's about to do it in 6 straight seasons. He is unbelievable. He's one of one. I've got pick 7, and I'm going to go back to Zeke. And Zeke has just been awesome recently. He has been a freight train. The Cowboys are running the football at an extremely high level. The touchdown equity is absurd for Zeke Elliott. He doesn't necessarily need crazy passing game volume. He gives you some, but that offensive line is playing well. That offense is humming in general. To me, to get Zeke at pick 7, Matthew, feels like an awesome value. Who are you taking at pick 8?
You know what I was planning on when I looked at sort of the draft order? I'm like, you know what? I bet you there's a chance that Devontae Adams falls to me here. Right. But I'm like, wait a minute. Alvin Kamara is still hanging around here. Yeah. And I understand the concerns about the passing game, but I'm encouraged by the fact that he got 8 targets last week against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Got 8 targets. He's had over 20 touches in 4 of 5 games this year. They're on a bye this week. So, like, I get rid of the bye, and then I've got him for the rest of the season. I don't have to worry about it. And Michael Thomas is due back after the bye. What does that offense look like? I feel like the offense gets a little bit more opened up once Michael Thomas is under center.
Totally.
I'm sorry, once Michael Thomas is back on the field.
Yep.
You know, and so I was really tempted by Adams, but I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara. I think he's too valuable, too many touches to give up at this point.
Daniel, pick 9 for you.
Yeah, I was going to go with either Alvin Kamara or Devontae Adams based on what you did. And it seems like a no-brainer for me to take Devontae Adams here, especially when you look at the targets that he has, when you look at what he's been, you know, he's consistent. One of the things that I like about Devontae Adams that I don't love about Tyreek Hill is while Tyreek Hill will have these monster games, there just feels to be more consistency, just a higher floor with Devontae Adams. And I like that, especially here in the first round when I'm taking a guy. Give me Devontae Adams, and I think it's real simple.
All right, so we go to pick number 10. Doug, you are back on the clock. Some of the names to consider here, pick 10, Tyreek Hill, Najee Harris has been excellent so far this year. Cooper Kupp's been the best wide receiver in fantasy so far this season. Saquon Barkley looked good last week. Obviously, he got hurt again, so maybe that puts him off your board. You mentioned Jonathan Taylor earlier, so where are you going to go with pick number 10?
Yeah, so I really wanted to take Kamara, but he's just not catching any balls these days, so I think I would take Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's consistent. He can, you know, the guy can score 40 points in any given week, so that'd be my pick.
I kind of think he might have 40 points this week. Matthew and I were talking earlier, like, they're going to be so frustrated after another loss. They play against a very bad Washington defense.
Brutal.
This could be, like, after this week, we may be wanting to redraft and take Tyreek Hill number 1 overall because it could be like a 40-point on 3 touchdown effort on Sunday.
Doug and Trish, do you guys have, want to give you guys the opportunity to do you have a question for any one of us? Do you guys have a... whether it's fantasy football, whether it's life. Whether it's sequel rights to Fantasy Focus, the movie, you name it, whatever is on your mind, we'd be happy to answer for you guys.
I do have a fantasy football question. I'm looking at my team right now. So I had some injuries. I have Barkley and Kenny Galladay. So I had to do some waiver transactions last night, and I did a little trick by picking up some players and dropping my kickers in defense.
Called it the
Matthew Barry, now I need to drop some people for my game. So essentially, I have to drop one of these players. It's either Gaskin, Mitchell, Pollard, or Booker. Who do I drop?
Gaskin, Pollard, Mitchell, or
Booker, Devontae Booker.
Devontae Booker, and do you have Zeke? You do have Barkley. Do you have Zeke on your team?
My other running back is Eckler.
Eckler. Okay, nice.
Instinct right now is probably to drop Elijah Mitchell, only because, you know, it's hard. He doesn't play this week, but I know he's going to be the lead guy. But that's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow. Are there no IR slots available for you? Could you wait until later on this week when Saquon gets ruled out, and same with Kenny Galladay, and just IR one or both of them? That would be the best route, I think.
Yeah, that's my hope. They're not IR yet, so I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
But for our game, what you could do is, let's say the Giants on Friday rule out Saquon Barkley for Sunday, you could throw him in the IR spot, and then you could fill your kicker that way, because those are 4 really valuable pieces on your bench.
Yeah, I agree. How many teams are in your league, Doug?
Was that?
Are you a 10, 12-team league?
How many? 12-team.
12-team, so really valuable in a 12-team. Here's what I would do is I would start working the wire, start working the phones a little bit and see if you could do a 2-for-1 trade.
Good call.
To try, you know, like try
Tony Pollard plus somebody.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, are there 2 lesser running backs that you can get a better running back? Honestly, and again, depending on sort of how the rest of your lineup looks, I'd actually prefer to drop Kenny Galladay than any of those running backs.
Yeah, probably true, actually, now that you think about it.
I mean, like, again, like, he hasn't been good this year. He's been hurt. Who knows how the emergence of Kadarius Toney is going to affect that offense.
Right.
We talked early in the show before you guys join us. There's a chance Daniel Jones plays on Sunday, but there's a chance that he doesn't. We don't know how long this concussion is going to linger. Like, how much do you love Kenny Golladay with Mike Glennon under center?
Not
like,
a whole lot.
Exactly. Yeah. So assuming you have other wide receivers, maybe do that. Or could you package Kenny Golladay plus one of those running backs for a good wide receiver, for an upgrade on Golladay to create a roster spot? That might be what I would do there.
Awesome.
Yeah, you guys have that's a great problem to have. I mean, I know you're a little bit down in your luck right now because of the injuries, but you've built a very strong roster. Before we say goodbye, and two things we have to do. First, most importantly, thank you for your generosity and your kindness and certainly your story. I mean, it's inspiring to see two people care and love about each other as much as the two of you clearly do.
It's awesome. I mean, honestly, jokes aside, like, Trish is making a big sacrifice here, and it's amazing. Having spent time with you guys now a couple of times, I know the love that you guys have. It's an amazing marriage. You guys have been together a long time. So thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for a very, very generous donation to the V Foundation, where 100% of all proceeds go to cancer research and to fighting cancer. So V.org, if you would like to help out in any way that you can, but we're very appreciative here at the show, Doug and Trish, for your guys' very generous donation. We're going to be thinking about you guys, obviously, over the next week. Please, Trish, keep us updated. You have my contact information. Please keep us updated, you know, minute by minute if you need to.
And we talked about your career, your side hustle, as Matthew coined it, as a content/movie producer. Where can people find you on social media if they want to maybe see some of that work?
So there's I have a few accounts, but at Funny How Films on Twitter is probably the best way to find us.
Funny How Films? Is that what that was?
Funny How Films?
Yeah, Funny How Films, like Funny Ha Ha, Funny How Films.
Funny Ha Films.
Funny Ha Films, okay.
Funny
H-O-W.
Funny How, Funny H-O-W Films, and then also, and you own a sports bar as well, right?
I own a sports bar, and wearing this shirt, Underdogs Trace. So you can also follow us at Underdogs Trace. And if any of you guys are ever in the Bay Area, come on by. We have award-winning Baja Fish Tacos. So I know Stefania's not on the show, but I'm sure she swings by San Francisco every once in a while. So
Stefania, there's two things that Stefania loves. And more than anything in this world, I think.
Okay.
Being on the West Coast
right. And
free stuff. So she will absolutely come by Underdog Trace for some of those Baja Fish Tacos. No question about that.
Yeah, count us all in the next time that we make a trip out there. And go Giants. Big pivotal game 5 coming tomorrow night. And, of course, Evan Longoria looking to root for him and the entire squad. Thank you for making the effort. Thank you for all your generosity. Thanks for being an inspiration. You guys are tremendous. It's been an honor to speak with you, and a nice job on that fantasy mock draft as well.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Yeah. Much love.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, be well. Good luck next week.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon. All right,
welcome back
go.
In just a minute here. We'll keep things rolling here. But
the definitive Doug and Trish interview.
The definitive interview.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming back in just a minute to continue with a couple of rankings thoughts. But before we do you own or rent your home, Matthew? Homes.
Yeah.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Actually, I know
you have
it
no
is,
idea.
But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico.
What?
Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along
they
with
do?
Your auto policy. Yep, it's a good thing too
nice. Because
you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Alrighty, back to some more rankings talk here, and let's talk about some fill-in running backs. My bad on the slate there. We talk about Damian Williams here for a second, Matthew, just to sort of take stock of where he is after 1 week as sort of the lead back, but also not exclusively the lead back for Chicago.
And shout out to Dan Graziano, to our friend Dan Graziano. I did a segment with him on Friday on the Max Kellerman show, the new This Just In, the new Max Kellerman show. So Dan and I did a segment with Max on Friday's show. And then, of course, Dan joined us on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning. And in both cases, he made the same point, which is that Khalil Herbert, the sixth-round rookie, they like. Mm-hmm. He was talking to people there at Chicago. They like Damian Williams. Obviously, they're fans of his. But they think Herbert can play, and don't be surprised when he gets a real role on Sunday. What comes out and happens? They basically split the work. Both guys get a lot of work for the Bears. Williams ends up getting the touchdown, but if you watch that game, you saw the speed of Herbert. Like, you're like, oh.
Yeah, he's been returning kicks for them.
Yeah.
He is clearly an explosive player. I still think we actually both agree that Damian Williams still has to be ranked higher right now because he's still the more involved and better pass catcher. But the Herbert usage definitely caught my eye.
Yeah, and I think when they get in close, I think Williams will be the more trusted option, you know, and he's probably more suited for a, quote, goal line role. But I think if you're in a deeper PPR league, like, I would rank Herbert in the Kenneth Gainwell range, Naheem Hines, J.D. McKissick, guys that have PPR value as flexes in
maybe even
12 team leagues,
to be honest with you, because Herbert had
something like 18 touches or something like that.
Yeah, but zero targets.
Right, exactly.
Maybe there was one, but it was no catches.
From my point, correct. But my point of view was just sort of like that in terms of like sort of where you rank him, where you view him as a, to me, he's in that range. Different type players, obviously, but I think he's in that range scoring wise, ranking wise, in terms of how you value him as a asset going forward, at least as long as Dave Montgomery's out.
He certainly has my attention. That much is clear. We talked about Darrell Williams earlier on in the show, Matthew, but just to reiterate and just to sort of give you a data point of where we have him ranked, do you have him 16th this week? I have him 18th. In week 5, he was RB 40 when he played some of the game, but obviously that was after CEH got hurt. So in all this, listen, he has 5 touchdowns in his, excuse me, this season, he has 2 touchdowns on carries inside the opponent's 10-yard line.
Got it.
On 4 carries. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has 1 such carry and did not score. So, as we talked about earlier, the Chiefs are going to turn to him much more likely than they would if CEH was still on the field.
CEH has two touchdowns, I believe, that CEH has this year was like a shovel pass, was a broken play where he was sort of a dump off and he got it in, and then a shovel pass, kind of one of those, you know.
I think he had like a 17-yard run and then a little scoop pass.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yep, he is a better goal line weapon than is CEH.
I got a quick question for you because we basically talked about Damian Williams.
Are you asking for our coffee order?
I am not. No.
Doesn't he look like a guy when you go to the local coffee shop? He looks
Matthew? Yeah, come on. Nice.
Just ask.
I love
just,
you.
Yeah, just.
You want 2 shots of espresso?
That's all I'm asking for.
That's all you wanted? All right.
That's all I needed. All right. Thank you.
We've talked about Damian Williams and Darrell Williams, both guys who are replacement running backs for what would be starters. And you've got Devontae Booker this week also filling in for Saquon Barkley, but he takes on the Rams. So understanding that while he's going to be the starting running back this week, I mean, we've talked about 2 other guys that have replaced their main starters. Devontae Booker taking on the Rams. Matthew, you have him at 18. Field, you have him at 16. How do you look at Devontae Booker this week taking on that tough matchup?
Well, it's a couple of things here. What's exciting for me about Devontae Booker is that he's a good pass catcher. He's a true 3-down back. Like, they used him in the passing game. They're using him. And then you think about this Giants offense, right? Potentially no Daniel Jones, potentially no Sterling Shepard, potentially no Darius Slayton, potentially no Kenny Galladay. Like, you know, like, looks like they're going to have Kadarius Toney, but like, they're running out of guys.
Yeah.
And so I think despite a tough match with the Rams defense, which, by the way, over the last 4 weeks, the Rams are 18th against the run. They're 26th against the pass. Like, the Rams defense hasn't been the Rams defense in capital letters the last 4 weeks.
Sure.
Like, you know, they've played some good offenses. There's no question about it. But still, when you're a dominant defense, it shouldn't matter who you're playing. And they've been exposed a little bit. And so, listen, the Rams are going to have a much easier matchup against the Giants, an injury-depleted Giants offense than they have in some of their previous matchups. But still, I think insane volume for Booker, plus his passing game usage, keeps his fantasy floor high. I have Booker at running back 18 this week.
Yeah, we shared the stat yesterday, but in week 5, Devontae Booker played nearly 88% of the snaps.
Yeah, I mean,
when Saquon was you know, at least to start the game, was available. That was more than any other player at the running back spot in the NFL this past week. So you got to figure the Giants will lean heavily on him. I think Eli Penny will get a couple touches as well.
Yeah.
He's a sort of fullback running back hybrid, but it's not like the Giants are flush with a bunch of other running backs that you think, okay, that guy's a real threat to Devontae Booker's workload. And, you know, the Rams run defense certainly is good. I mean, it's not, listen, the Rams are just good everywhere on defense.
Of course.
But I don't know that we've viewed them as like a funnel in the way that we have. There's really only 1 or 2 defenses right now that I'm like, that's a true running back avoid.
Yeah, I mean, that's like Tampa they're Bay. I was going to say they're not the Buccaneers.
The Bucs are the only team right now, and I mean, if you had Christian McCaffrey, you're not sitting him against the Bucs. But like, right. If you have a guy who's on the border, and you're like the Damian Harris negative rushing yards game against Tampa was the most predictable thing since the sun rising. You know, like that 1,000%. It was going to happen. So. I think in this case, the Rams defense is very good. And I'm not guaranteeing you 25 fantasy points from Devontae Booker, but the workload is good enough to get him inside our top 20.
Especially when you're searching around in a week in which you've got Alvin Kamara on a bye, right? When you're without Saquon Barkley, you're without Cordarrelle Patterson, you're without Elijah Mitchell. Like, you know, there's guys that are missing, whether it's due to injury or they're on a bye.
Let's see if we can maybe start a trend here where no matter what we say about Myles Gaskin, the opposite comes true.
Sure.
Right?
Okay.
Last week, dump him, right?
Yeah, dumpster. I mean, welcome to dumpster.
12 snaps, and then he goes off for, 31.9 fantasy points.
Monster game.
10 catches for 99 yards. And I said this on Monday, Matthew. The 2 touchdowns were amazing. 10 catches were amazing. The most important thing that happened this past weekend was not the 10 catches and not the 2 touchdowns, right? It was the fact that Malcolm Brown hardly played at all.
Yeah.
Savon Ahmed played a few snaps, but nothing unusual. Myles Gaskin was the running back on the field for the Dolphins. The Dolphins are so tough. Like, the Dolphins offense reminds me of the Washington defense. Like, you should have to pay us to watch those two units play right now.
It's completely fair. I mean, I thought I was insulting to the Washington defense. Like,
You literally said you'd rather watch the Titanic.
I'd rather be on the Titanic than watch them these days. I was just saying, like, I mean, cut to the Miami offense. It's like, I know we're bad, dude, but come on. Like, them shots fired.
Okay.
They are. I'm joking.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins offense, and they've had some injuries, and they're playing with a backup quarterback, but the offensive line is a disaster. The people that they've brought, whether it's, you know, Jalen Waddle's had some moments here, but Will Fuller has been a disappointment, obviously, this year. They re-signed Devontae Parker. He hasn't been great this year. Like,
he's out of practice today, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, like...
So let me just make this simple,
yes, sir.
Then. The Dolphins need to find any semblance of playmaking on their offense right now. And Myles Gaskin's one of those players, one of the few players they actually have who can make plays. And the Dolphins should be relying on Myles Gaskin. He has shown it when he's got an opportunity. It's going back to last year that when he gets the chance, he typically produces. And I know maybe there's some pass protection limitations or things like that, Matthew. Not a big-time power back, but get Myles Gaskin the work that he deserves. He showed it last week. As a result of that, Matthew, I've got him at running back 22 this week. You've got him at running back 25.
Yeah, just hedging a little bit on the usage. Again, we're 2 weeks removed from 12 snaps.
Right.
Like, it's sort of all over the place. But you couldn't ask for a better matchup than the Jacksonville Jaguars, who've allowed 8 rushing touchdowns to running back this season. That is the most in the NFL. You know, I mean, like, it's a good matchup. The concerns here is, again, like... He's had single-digit carries in almost every game but one this year.
Yeah.
You're counting on passing game usage.
That's all it is.
From Myles Gaskin here, and you're hoping for that. But again, like London games in general are weird, and then you've got, you know, his usage has been all over the place, and the Jaguars, so I'm hedging.
Yeah,
but I'm a mid-tier flex, but there's a wider range of outcomes for Myles Gaskin this week than I think almost any running back on the board.
James White's a better player than Myles Gaskin, but you need him to have a James White type role, right?
Correct.
Where like 5 to 7 targets a game.
Yes, correct.
With more rushing volume than James White had sprinkled in and more touchdown upside. James White's a better player.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not debating that. I'm just telling you, that's kind of what I would like to see in terms of the role for Myles Gaskin. We're going to come back. No, we're not going to come back. We're just going to talk about the wide receivers now.
Yes, sir.
Let's go ahead and talk about a couple of these guys, Matthew. And I think the most interesting pass catchers in some people's minds this week are the Seahawks wide receivers, as unless something changes between now and Sunday night, Russell Wilson will not be available.
Right.
Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf are outstanding players. Metcalf, the more consistent player. Lockett, the guy whose peaks seem to be even higher. His valleys are just far more consistent and far lower. But I have DK Metcalf at 6 this week, Matthew. You've got him at number 6 as well amongst pass catchers. Where we differ is having Tyler Lockett at, I have him at 9, you have him at 16. And probably the more surprising rank of those two is my rank inside my top 10.
Yeah.
Such a good matchup, though. It's such a good matchup against Pittsburgh, who all last week, Mike Lay was telling us, you guys think that Steelers defense is good? I'm telling you, the numbers tell you, it's terrible against the pass. And
what do you know? Mike Clay is right, as
usual. Mike Clay, Cortland Sutton had a monster game. Yeah. Tim Patrick had a very serviceable game. And here's a dumb reason to rely upon this logic, but sometimes in fantasy football, you just sort of trust instincts and guts.
Fair.
As we talked about, Tyler Lockett is the up and the down player.
Yeah.
Two games up, three games down, he's due for an up game.
He is due for an up game, and if there's some positives to take away from Geno Smith, the anti-Geno Smith argument or the anti-Lockett argument is that Geno Smith was, at least in the small sample size we saw, better on short yardage than he is on deep balls. Mm-hmm. And that one of the benefits, if you will, or one of the positives to Tyler Lockett is like he's among the fastest wide receivers in the NFL. He's an incredible route runner, and the connection he has with Russell Wilson is amazing. And yeah. So like, I mean, you think about that Colts game. Like, you know, like Tyler Lockett flying down there, Russell Wilson just boop. Like, I mean, they're just like they are totally, those two guys are in sync and have been for a long time. Is that timing, because that timing is so important when it comes, especially on deep routes, is that timing and accuracy there from Geno Smith on the deep routes with Tyler Lockett? So that's the anti-Lockett argument for having him inside the top 10. Having said all that, here's the thing. Geno Smith has had now 10 days. Like, he got thrown into that game. I'm sure you don't get a lot of first-team reps when you're the backup to Russell Wilson, who prior, still to this, as of today, has yet to miss an NFL game in his NFL career.
Right.
Has never missed a game in his NFL career. It's probably going to happen on Sunday night. But as of this moment, has never missed an NFL game in an eight-year career, I believe. He's been in the league 8 years.
I think this is his ninth season.
Is it his ninth season? All right. But what, a long time.
Yeah.
Russ has been around for a long, long time. So you don't get a lot of first-team reps.
Ten
seasons. There
How
you
about
go.
That, yeah.
10 seasons. So, so now, if there's a positive to it happened on a Thursday night. So they threw Geno in. Actually looked better than I think people thought. You know, I think people have this perception of Geno Smith as like, you know, bad quarterback. He was on the Jets, in which everyone sort of looked bad, especially in that era.
Sure.
Geno Smith was a good college quarterback.
He was amazing right? college quarterback.
I mean, like,
yeah, people like, it's not like he the first overall pick that
yeah,
year.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not like Geno Smith just suddenly like, you know, is like this journeyman, you know. Geno, he has had success at the highest level, sure. is what I'm saying about Geno Smith. Okay. So now he's had 10 days to prepare. And there's a very narrow target tree. It's DK Metcalf, it's Tyler Lockett, it's Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Maybe you see some Gerald Everett. Maybe you see Chris Carson mixed in there a little bit. But it's really those two guys. Yeah. And the positives to Tyler Lockett is he needs one play. He's one of those guys that just needs one play to make your fantasy day. I hedged it a little bit because I have him at 16 because, to your point, he's been down for 3 weeks. And will he have the deep connection with Geno that he had with Russ? But I think we both agree him and DK Metcalf are still must starts regardless of whether it is Russell Wilson or, as expected, Geno Smith under center.
So Keenan Allen's still inside our top 10, Matthew, and he's still an amazing player, obviously, and this yes. offense is playing at an incredibly high level. It just feels like Keenan Allen's value has dropped just a tick this year as the emergence of Mike Williams and Austin Eckler's continued ascent have taken place over the past 5 games. How about this? He has not been, Keenan Allen has been outside of the top 30 in 3 of the past 4 weeks. You're not doing anything about it, Matthew. I don't think he's fallen off. I think this is just as much about what is happening around him. It's exclusively about what is happening around him. Like, Keenan Allen remains one of the best route runners I've ever seen. His quarterback is obviously awesome. You know, the big play upside has never been the hallmark of Keenan Allen's
It's been
career.
Volume, yeah.
He's been volume, so the volume is down a little bit. It just feels like, you know, in previous years, it was DeAndre Hopkins, right? It was all the sure. volume was funneled his way that you would count on a 10 or 12 catch game, you know, 4 or 5 times a season from Keenan Allen. So far this year, it's been just a little bit less volume and other guys just going crazy in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, again, increased usage for Mike Williams, obviously, his emergence. Eckler has been healthy and getting a ton of work in the passing game. They're tight ends. Jared Cook and Donald Parham in that order also getting some looks as well. But Keenan Allen's still a low-end wide receiver one.
Field, I want to close the show out with a question that we've been getting a fair amount in chat, and I have seen at least a lot in my feed, is there was a report that Marlon Mack was potentially drawing interest from certain NFL teams, and he is very low rostered in NFL teams.
Including the Chiefs, according to Jeremy Fowler, our own Jeremy Fowler.
Correct. Yep. So I have a lot of people saying, hey, should I, if he's out there as a free agent, should I put in just, you know, swap him out for whoever the last guy is on my bench? Or do you think that there's not enough value or credence to those rumors to make an actionable move?
I would do it. I mean,
I would too.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Daniel, is that like, what percentage of credence would you need, or like, what percentage likely would you need for it to be worth it? If it's a 10% chance of happening, I think it's worth it, right?
But think about it this way: it's twofold, right? I mean, in essence, basically, he's a backup running back. He's a lottery ticket. He's a fantasy lottery ticket. So unlike most fantasy lottery tickets, like, you know, with Devontae Booker, he has value now because Saquon Barkley got hurt, or Damian Williams has value now because David Montgomery got hurt. Marlon Mack sort of has two paths to fantasy usefulness, right?
Trade.
We're not rooting for Jonathan Taylor to get hurt, but if something were to happen to Jonathan Taylor, whether COVID list or he gets injured, suddenly he has a lot of value as the starting running back of the Colts. Also, by the way, there's a chance that he gets traded, as both him and the Colts have said, we've agreed to shop him around and see if we can find a suitor for him.
I think they call it the do right by him is how they've been talking
about
it. Yeah,
they like Marlon Mack. He's been a good team player, and they know they can't get him on the field as much as he would like. And so is there a way that, you know, the Colts can get an asset back for Mack and Mack can get more playing time? So he actually has more paths to potential fantasy viability than many backup running backs currently out there.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. I definitely think Marlon Mack is a very smart stash if you have the bench
very
space.
Likely.
It's tough. Just remember, look at the bye weeks coming up, because we got four teams on a bye, but six on a bye next week. It's going to get dicey next week.
Yeah.
Bye-mageddon is what Matthew
Bye-mageddon.
I believe the NFL trade deadline is November 2nd. I know it usually comes the Tuesday after Halloween, which would be November 2nd this year. So we'll keep an eye on Marlon Mack status until that time. That's going to do it for us today. We have Mike Clay coming in tomorrow to preview Thursday Night Football. And as always, give us his look at wide receiver and cornerback matchups, plus the Seahawks situation, how he's handling those two pass catchers this week. For Matthew and Daniel, I am Field. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Thank you, Doug and Trish. Good luck,
well
Doug.
Done.
Peace out.
Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island. Going full Haynesworth without even trying. Award-winning creations, like his news or noise segment, are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a Field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry.